Thank you for stopping by Living Waters World Online, the place where the river of God flows. Pastors Lawrence and Kimberly Richardson invite you on a journey to change the church, challenge the colleges, and charge into the community. The following message is from the series, This is Our Time of Deliverance, from the Chronicles of Exodus.
Properly educated, we now have to bring it in correlation what God been teaching us out of the book of Exodus, because in the book of Exodus, God is giving the children of Israel a great lesson on how he brings his people out. All right. In the book of Exodus, and this is where we've been, amen, chapter 1 through chapter number 10, and I've gone a little bit into chapter number 11. But when we're looking at that, God gives his people an excellent education on that when I bring my people out, this is what it looks like. And so for the next few moments that I have today, amen, I'm going to now go back to the book of Exodus, and I'm going to give you a little bit of 2 Timothy, and for a few moments, I'm going to continue with the series, This is Our Time of Deliverance, all right? Exodus chapter number 11, and when you have the word, say, I have the word. All right, if you need a Bible while you're here, put your hands up. Somebody will get a Bible for you to use. And I pray, amen, that the word of the Lord, amen, that not only will be read in your hearing, but the word of the Lord that I'll come out of my mouth will bless your life, amen, forever. Amen. Exodus chapter number 11 and verse number 10. Exodus chapter number 11, verse number 10. And for a correlating scripture, 2 Timothy chapter number 2. Verse 13. One more time. If you have the word, say, I have the word. Exodus chapter number 11, verse number 10. One verse and one verse only. And Moses and Aaron did all these wonders before Pharaoh. And the Lord hardened Pharaoh's heart so that he would not let the children of Israel go out of the land. Right? Let me read it one more time. And Moses and Aaron did all these wonders before Pharaoh. So the very power of God was on display in front of Pharaoh. And this is important. It was on display in front of all of Israel. It was on display in front of Moses. It was on display in front of Pharaoh and Aaron and Miriam. And the children of Israel. And this is important. But listen what it says. When God's work was on display, Pharaoh's heart still became hard. And he would not let the children of Israel go out of the land. 2 Timothy chapter number 2. You're going to get it in a few moments. 2 Timothy chapter number 2 verse 13. It says, if we believe not, yet he abideth forever. If we believe not, yet he abideth, one translation says, faithful. Because he cannot deny himself. If we believe not, and we got to catch this because some of us are hung up on who don't believe what we're saying to be true. If we believe not, yet he abideth faithful. For he cannot deny himself. For a few moments this morning, I want to talk from a subject, unbelief, unbelievers, and the hardened hearts. Unbelief, unbelievers, and the hardened hearts. Father, thank you for the word that you sowed me to minister for these next 15, 20 minutes. Give me articulation of speech, God. Thank you for strengthening me. Thank you for empowering me. Thank you for to do what I never thought I could do because you're with me. So now speak through me, God, and speak to me, God. But give me an ear to hear. Give us an ear to hear, oh God, what the Spirit is saying to the church. God, circumcise our ears one more time, God, that we can hear, but not just hear, but we can then become doers, God. Mix our orthodoxy with our orthopraxy, God, that we can, oh God, be, oh God, living epistles, rid of men. Destroy, God, what the enemy sent to divide us. Destroy what was sent to distract us. And when this service is over, we've come in one way, but we're going to go out another way. We came in broken, but we're going to go out put back together. We came in sick, but we're going out healed. We came in broke, but we're going out, amen, filled and flourishing. This is my prayer, God. Now speak through me. And as I speak, God, let it be with great plainness of speech. God, let me remember, oh God, through my whole sermon, what Solomon has said. And I don't do too much yelling, but I speak that they can hear what I'm saying. It is in Jesus' name I pray. And all God's people said, amen. Unbelief, and minstrels, you can be released, all right? Unbelief, unbelievers, and the hardened hearts. Unbelief, unbelievers, and the hardened hearts. I pray something work in your favor today. In 3 days, this is my third time preaching, so I hope that will help me that I don't preach too long, but there's a whole bunch of word in me, so that don't really mean too much, right? But I hope it helps you, all right? Unbelief, unbelievers, and hardened hearts. One of the things that will empower our faith is comprehending the effects of unbelief, the effects of unbelievers, and the effect of hardened hearts, all right? Let me say that again. One of the things that will empower our walk in faith is comprehending the effects of unbelief, unbelievers, and the hardened heart. If we walk by sight, then these things will greater deter us. Unbelief, unbelievers, the hardened heart. If we walk by sight, these things will greatly deter us. But if we walk not by sight and walk by faith, then we will become eyewitnesses to the wonders of God. Say that again, because somebody really need to catch this. If we walk by sight, then unbelief and unbelievers and hardened hearts, whether it's in us, around us, or affecting somebody through us, it will deter us from seeing the wonders of God. But if we walk by faith and not by sight, regardless of unbelief and unbelievers and hardened hearts, we're going to keep waking up and we're going to keep seeing, there go a wonder of God. Stay with me, I'm going somewhere. If we walk by faith and not by sight, God will combat and defeat what the enemies of unbelief and unbelievers and hardened hearts came to accomplish. And some of us need to catch that, because there's some battles we have no need to fight in. Some of the stuff we fighting, it ain't our fight. Okay, you're not ready yet, but I'm going to keep going anywhere. Some of us are staying up and we ought to be asleep. Y'all ain't saying nothing. Some of us are saying one more word and we should have shut up 5 minutes ago. Because some parts of unbelief and unbelievers and hardened hearts, God said, hold your peace. I got this one. Okay, let me keep going. We must understand that the Bible is God's self-revelation to humans for them to choose to believe whether or not he is God, all right? The Bible is God's self-revelations to humans for them to then choose to believe whether or not he is who he say he is. I need to tell somebody today, get off of your soapbox trying to defend God. He big bad enough to defend his own self. Okay, y'all ain't saying nothing, all right? Sometimes we go into work and we trying to prove to somebody there is a God. And the God that I serve, he has no need. Go back in the Old Testament and ask Dagon, does God need somebody to defend him? They tried to put the Ark of the Covenant beside, they tried to put Dagon beside the Ark of the Covenant. And day by day and hour by hour, God kept showing them, Dagon is no comparison to me. stop trying to defend who God says he is. God's self-revelation to humans, it is for the humans to determine themselves whether or not they believe God. That's why the writer of Deuteronomy picked it up. He says, now choose ye this day whom ye will serve. Everybody has a choosing that they must make after they experience God revealing who he is. Okay, you didn't hear what I said, so I'm going to say it again. Nobody can choose for us. We have to choose for ourselves, amen, whether or not we believe that God can heal. We have to choose for ourselves whether we believe that he can provide for us. We got to choose that is he our shepherd and we shall not walk. And nobody can make that choice for us. So the book of the Bible, the 66, it is God revealing to humanity, this is who I am. Now, who do you say I am? And if we're not careful, Deacon Andre, we keep experiencing another dimension of who he revealed, but we are yet to believe that he is who he said he is. I said something right there, but some of y'all didn't catch it, so I'll say it again. God keeps revealing who he is over and over, and here go one more dimension, and we still have yet to discover he is the I am that I am. What else? And I don't want to preach it like that, y'all, today. What else does he really need to do before we throw up our hands and say there is no God like our God? Maybe not for some of you babies that are 6 and 7 and 12 and 13, but most of us plus 20, what else it is that God need to do? He done made a way when there was no way. He done got you through college. He done got you employed. He done brought down mountains. He done lifted up valleys. He done been made payments, and you didn't even know how he got paid, and you still question it whether or not he's God? Bible is God's self-revelation of who it is that he is, but I'm going to say to you again, every human got to make the choice, do I believe he is who he said he is? I think the psalmist sung it a little bit this morning. I still believe, I still believe, I still believe. And it's not hard to believe when he's doing something. It's hard to believe when it looks like he ain't doing nothing. But I still believe when I can't see him doing nothing. I still believe when I can't trace him and see what it is that he's doing. Every human must decide whether or not we believe. We're journeying during this time of deliverance so we can get our example of what it looks like with an outstretched arm and a strong hand bringing a people out. And there are a few things that I want to highlight this morning before I just talk about the three things that I gave you that we must comprehend if we're not going to fall by the wayside of unbelief, unbelievers, and those with the hardened heart. Number one, we must understand that God has brought us a mighty long ways. And even though he's brought us a long ways, he ain't finished yet. Look at somebody with some attitude, say, he ain't finished yet. He done brought us a long ways, but he ain't finished. But I don't stop there. But since he ain't finished, I ain't going to let nothing deter me from going to promised land. Come on, somebody say it one more time. He done brought us a mighty long ways. Oh, God, he brought me a long ways. He brought my wife a long ways. He done brought my children a long ways. He done brought my family, my mama, my daddy and them. He done brought us a mighty long ways. But we ain't there yet. And because we're not there yet, I'm not going to let anything deter me from getting to the land called promise. Come on, find somebody to high five and say, I ain't going to let nothing deter me from getting to the land called promise. He brought me a long ways, But I ain't gonna let nothing deter me from going to the land of promise. The second thing that I want to highlight today, and I promise y'all, I'm almost done. We must now always stay dependent on the God who have proven to both open and close doors, because he's proven he is a faithful God. We must now that we are a long ways out, not there yet, don't disconnect from the dependency on God. All right. If it brought us this far, we're going to need him a little bit down the road in a few minutes. All right. Sometimes we get on this journey and he got us out and we think we got it now. No. Keep your dependency. Keep calling on him day and night and morning and evening. Don't lose your dependency, because hear me, amen, he is a faithful God. What God has done and what God is doing and what God shall do requires our full attention. We're on our way to our time of deliverance. And now what he has done and what he is doing, it now requires our full attention. Y'all, please listen, because I promise you're going somewhere. We are living in a day which is full of distractions. It's full of deceptions. It's full of dividers that's trying to separate us from the will of God. So we got to stay committed and connected to, amen, who we're dependent on. But we also, y'all, please hear me, what God is doing and what God has done and what God shall do, it requires our full attention. Ask your neighbor, say, neighbor, are you paying attention? Are you paying attention? Y'all, please hear me. This is not a moment to get distracted. This is not a moment to get distracted, not paying attention. Y'all, please hear me. You got to really hear what they said. And you got to make sure, did they say what I think I said? Because hear me, it's full of distractions, but it's also full of deception. And if you don't believe this hour is full of deception, just pay attention to what's going on in 1600. This hour is full of deception. And so it requires your attention. Y'all, I don't know if y'all are catching what I'm saying. Because hear me, things are trying to divide us from God's will. And if we get divided from his will, we're going to get divided from who it is he is. If we get divided from who it is he is, we might get stuck and we don't get where we're going. And I don't know about you, but where I am is good, but where I'm going is so much better. So I got to give God my full attention. That means I need to be praying at night. That means I need to be reading my word in the morning. That means I need to take a lunch break and go pick up my Bible, B-I-B-L-E. And I got to, I was so grateful. My dear friend, my wife and I, we was down in Florida and we got this heavy prophetic word. I'm talking about this thing went to the core of our being. It talked about the breaker that she is and how healing flows. It talks about a fourfold flow that's coming to my life. It talked about location. It was all of that. And guess what I'm now doing? I kept telling William, send me the recording. William, send the recording. And every day, y'all, I don't know if y'all can hear. Every day I'm listening to the recording because I don't want one jot, one tittle to fall to the ground. And I never danced when I got to church today because there was an envelope sitting on my desk waiting for me. And somebody had typed the whole prophecy and sent it to me. Good God Almighty. Now I can give my full attention to what God said, because if I give my full attention, ain't nothing going to deceive me. Ain't nothing going to divide me. And then can't nothing conquer me from going where he's sending me. Got to give your full attention to what God said. There is deception and there is deceivers and there are dividing. And y'all hear me. It's trying to get us off the path from where we going. Somebody say with me real loud, Satan, the Lord rebuke you. I ain't getting distracted in this season. But this is our time to stay focused. Somebody said to me, stay focused, stay focused, stay focused, stay focused, stay focused, stay focused. Why is this important? This is important because the subject matter that we've came to discuss for the rest of our time. If I don't pay attention to what God has said to me, if I don't give heed to what it is that he wants to do, then there are going to be three things that are going to take root and they're going to grab hold. And before we know it, we're going to miss where it is God wants to take us because of three things. And they're not complicated. They're very simple. But if you don't get a handle on them, they'll take root and then they'll grow. And before you know it, you ain't going nowhere. The first thing is unbelief. Listen what Matthew 13 and 58 says. And it's talking about Jesus. And he did not many mighty works there because of their unbelief. If you don't think unbelief is powerful, you better think again. We're talking about Emmanuel, God with us. We talking about somebody that got up in a virgin's womb and came out her womb. We talking about somebody that walked on water. Oh, y'all ain't saying that. We talking about somebody that laid hands on sickness and sickness got up. We talking about somebody that commanded devils and they said, Jesus, you don't persecute him before our time. Can we run into the pit? We talking about that Jesus that Matthew says that when he came to a certain place, because there was unbelief, he didn't do too many mighty acts. Unbelief intent is to separate a person from the open display of God's wondrous works. Stay with me. I ain't gonna be that long. Unbelief intent is to separate a person from witnessing God's open display of wondrous works. Unbelief calls one to doubt and questions God's word, therefore nullifying given grace, given mercy, and given promises. This is why Satan convinced the woman and Adam to ask the question, has God said? Unbelief causes us to question and doubt God's word. And when God's word is questioned and doubted, it then nullifies grace and mercy and promises. And I don't know about y'all, I need a whole lot of mercy every morning. I need a whole lot of grace every day. And God knows I want those things that are yes and amen. But unbelief comes with the intent to rob us what is rightfully ours. When unbelief is finished, and you got to get this, when unbelief is finished, it separates the person from an ongoing relationship with the presence of the Holy One. Good God Almighty. Hebrews 11 and 6 says, but without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek them. Luke 22 says, and the Lord said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan has desired to sift you. So I might have a measure of faith, but here come old Satan trying to sift that which I have that ain't even that much. But Romans says faith can come by hearing and hearing the word of God. Unbelief has an intent. Unbelief has an intent. It wants us to doubt and question. Is God going to bless me? Is God favor on my life? Can I really be healed and walk in divine health? Can I be wealthy and establish a business and go to work and be prosperous and have money for not only my generation, but a generation to come? Sin and unbelief comes to get us to doubt and question all that, because then when we start to question and doubt, now there is no grace and there is no mercy and there is no promise. We got to do what the word said. We got to keep hearing and hearing and hearing until we can't doubt it. You didn't hear what I said. We got to keep hearing it and hearing it and hearing it until we can't doubt it. We got to keep hearing it and hearing it and hearing it until we can't doubt it. I started hearing about divine health somewhere around 1991, 1992, and I started confessing it after a doctor diagnosed something over my heart. I started confessing because what he told me, I didn't like what he said, and I said, you done practiced all that years, and that's the best you can do. I'm going to try Jesus. And I walked out of that office and I said, the rest of my life, I'm going to walk in divine health. Now, please trust me and hear me when I say this. There's stuff that attacked me, but then I start confessing it a little louder because I done said it so long, it's in me now that I expect to walk in divine health. Okay, you didn't catch what I said, and you really don't even know why I told you the story that I just told you. You got to keep hearing it and hearing it and hearing it till you believe it, even when there is no reason to believe it. Some of us have not heard the word of faith long enough so that when something comes to attack the word of faith, faith is easily removed. You got to keep hearing this and hearing this until you can have all kind of things stacked against you, but you still believe. Isaiah 53:1, whose report you still believe. I got facts, but I believe truth. And truth is not a written formula. Truth is not, amen, a dissertation. Truth is not even a doctrine. Truth is a person, and his name is Jesus. Okay. I don't want to wear y'all out today. Unbelief comes with an intent. To counter unbelief, we have to protect our seed of faith. Some things we can't hear. Some things we can't listen to. Some things people say about us, we should never repeat. God. Oh, God. Oh, God. Let me say that again. There are some things that said we should let it pass right through our hearing and go wherever it came from. Let it go wherever it's going because it ain't camping out right here. Okay, I don't know if y'all can hear me. Because hear me, it has an intent. It's trying to get you over into unbelief. Because if you get over in unbelief, now your promise is gone. I feel like preaching, y'all. If you get over into belief, now there is no grace. By grace, we are saved through faith. I'm going to say that again. Some things that I feel like preaching up in here. Some things that comes to your hearing, you got to let it go. Amen. Wherever it came from, you got to let it go where it's going. Because if it camp out here, it's going to get here. And if it get here, it's going to go here. And if it go here, before you know it, it's going to go here. And life and death lies in the power of the tongue. And before you know it, your boy feel like preaching. And before you know it, you saying something that pronounce a death sentence over your promise. Sometimes you hear, you got to let it go through your hearing passage and go wherever it's going. Be gone.
We hope you've enjoyed this message from Living Waters World Online. If you were blessed by this message or know someone who will be blessed by this message, please click the link below for more information on how to receive the full-length copy. We hope you are encouraged. And please remember, this is the place where the river of God flows.